Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. I am so happy you're joining me today, July 4th, 2018. I'm Cynthia Rose, your host of Standing in the Sunlight. I'm really happy to be here with you. Today is July 4th, Independence Day, if you're in the USA. A day when forefathers came together to make an agreement to work together. Another kind of belonging or feeling connected, if you will. And today backyards will be barbecuing and festivities will be happening all over the place. And I want to talk today about the importance of feeling happy and belonging and ponder some thoughts, What could it be that we could go deeper into this? You have something you want to share with me. You can call in at area code 1202-570-7057. Brendan is in the Cynthia Rose Medium group on Facebook. You could just ask to join and you'll be in that group. He'll let you in. You can also find me on Facebook, Seeking of Connections, Facebook or YouTube under Cynthia Rose Medium. So I'm so happy to be here and talk about this, something I feel passionate about. It's all important that we feel connected, happy. This can be trying times for people. And I'm talking about finding a level of peace that works for you. I'm not talking about drinking the Kool-Aid and feeling like we're ignoring what's going on. I want to make that really clear. So it's important to be here and see and know what's going on. And can we really bring that happiness deeper into ourselves? And for that, you know, it's important to find your tribe. By that, I mean people that identify and support the path you're on. I in no way mean that everyone should think the way you do. Tribe's an interesting word because at one level, we're all one tribe. We are the global tribe. But then as humans, we break down into countries, country tribe. We have areas of the countries which we may identify with, and then it gets more personal. We could have a work tribe, sports tribe, a gender tribe, our family tribe, friend tribe, so on and so on. And not to mention nowadays, social media tribe, another way of being connected. But the thing about tribes are they're great for supporting and expanding ourselves, but the tendency to create more tribal thoughts can create a separation from one tribe to another. And that can block some of our happiness. That can block our expansion as human beings. Our personal or intimate tribe, right? That's, first of all, we need to find people that are easy and comfortable to be with and that we feel we can be ourselves. They love us, period. And we'll call them the personal tribe. That's pretty natural. That's pretty important. Now, in this earthly existence, we need to have a connection to other human beings and strengthen the feeling of being connected. Now, research has been done with people who've been ill, and it's shown that people recover from illnesses in a greater percentage when they feel supported by others in their life. And the same is true for others who had traumatic life events. So we benefit from having people in our life on a more intimate level that we can identify with. No argument there, right? But what about tribes or other people that are not like us? You know, that sense of separation, I'm not like them. Those are the people who irritate us, don't share our values. We may feel justified in not caring for them because of how they behave. I'm not saying that you have to love everyone on a personal level, but I am saying they are part of the larger one tribe, even though you might think they don't act like it. And you know, for our own souls, we need to cope with that. And that's what I'd like to offer some ponderings or thoughts about today. So it doesn't mean that we have to condone unkind behavior or anything like that. There is a part of us, though, that is connected to a greater or spiritual or peaceful part of us. So for those of us who are wanting to feel connected to greater parts of ourselves, or shall I say, a greater happiness or a greater peace, this is all the same, this can be a challenge. I'm sure every one of you could tell me a story and justify why you don't like someone, and rightly so. I don't want to take that away from you. What I'm saying is that we can still have those feelings, see that, and yet know that we're connected to everyone and everything. You know, I always have this little metaphor for years and years now. Just picture yourself with your arms open wide, happy heart. We pass on and share out into the world. And when we're not happy, those arms are closed, shutting off. And maybe we have unkind words or actions. You know, it's pretty simple, really. But there's a lot of derision, separation these days because of political beliefs that I've noticed here. And you have every right to have opinions on how to make your world better. However, if you find you're not happy because of someone else, then you're in a pickle, aren't you? Each one of us is responsible for our own happiness. You know, it's funny because with all the storybook romance, how many of us grow up, at least in the Western world, looking for someone to make us happy? Yeah, I love romance, and yes, I'm romantic, but I have to say thanks, Mom, when she said to me, I don't want you to grow up to be just a pretty girl on someone's arm, which was her era. You know, she wanted me to think, to know myself, and I have to say thanks for that, Mom. So the beautiful thing about finding someone that makes you happy, that accepts you, that can be a special part for you, and we call your personal tribe. It's not the only way we grow, but if you have that and there's no challenges there, then you'll probably find that another area of your life will be where you have the same challenge as someone whose mate could be the challenge. Sometimes our mates are our greatest teachers. Sometimes there's no challenge there. It can be in another arena in our life. And of course, no one can feel your feelings but you. And no one can choose the thoughts you do. It is completely, entirely yours to play with. There's a lot of struggle nowadays with people being upset by other people's opinions or thoughts. And guess what? You can't control that. So if you keep putting energy into being upset about it, then it's going to be more difficult to affect change. If you let it drain, you know, if you allow your energy to constantly vibrate at a level of frustration and irritation, then you're contributing less to the tribe. Truth. Absolute truth. But you may have you may feel that. But I want to talk more about that feeling of frustration, and I don't want to negate that either. We'll go back to that. But I think we could just take a breath in the way we react to everything. You can still feel upset about how someone treats you, and then stop and realize, maybe they're not happy. Obviously, they behave in that way. You know, they've forgotten who they are. They've forgotten that they're connected, or maybe they don't even know. Maybe they're on a programming, an autopilot. They aren't aware of how they operate. But I'll tell you for sure, they feel separate. They suffer. There's no doubt about it. And I think we all need reminding of this now and then. You know, just an example, I was on a plane in the last few months, and there was a man in the very back of the plane, and he was trying to make a connecting flight. Our flight had been delayed, and he literally had minutes to get out when we were landing. He had a terminally ill mother. She was in the last moments of her life. And he was trying desperately, and he had to make another connection, and it was a long distance. It was a far way to travel. So the airline attendant had mentioned this, and asked that people allow six or so. He said, there's a group of people to get off the plane first. Please don't stand up until they've deplaned, which was nice that they mentioned that, but it really wasn't clear when everybody had gotten off. They didn't say, okay, everybody's off now. And everyone stood up at this point. I've been on planes before where nobody really listens to this. And it was kind of like that too. So the man was in the very back of the plane. The people in the front, I guess, that needed flights had gotten off. And he rushed past a lady behind me and then rushed past me desperately trying to make his connection. And the lady behind me stood with her husband, absolutely furious that he had brushed past her, and she was livid. You know, I reminded her of his flight connection. She said indignantly, well, he didn't have to be so pushy. It was quite clear she wanted to stay angry. Maybe she didn't feel comfortable about her anger or needed to emphasize it. I don't know. I'm not trying to figure that out. But as others tried to relax her, it wasn't working. You know, I said to somebody else that was looking at me, I said, I'm not giving my peace of mind away. You know, like, don't sweat the small stuff. I didn't say that. I was just saying, like, I'm not going to let it upset me. I don't know if he'd made his, when you think about it, would he have had time to make a connection if every time he bumped someone, he had said, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. He just wanted to make that point. So, but she overheard me. She glared at me heavily as if I had insulted her. I was really trying to just say, don't worry about it and keep things light, you know, to myself too. So it got me thinking, you know, the level of stress that we cause ourselves over these little unimportant things. And you know, if you've never experienced a greater peace of mind, then perhaps you don't know just how valuable it is. And if you have, you want it. You want it like I love 85% dark chocolate. It's chocolate for the soul, really. It's, if you know what I'm talking about, then you know you want more of it. It's a relaxant and healing additive for the body. You know, and when we're unwell, and we consciously cause our thoughts to stress, then we're stressing our body, because our body, mind, spirit are one. And I can't talk about it without separating, but they really aren't separate. So in my experience, I'm not saying she shouldn't have felt upset, and we need to honor what we're feeling, but we don't need to throw some yeast on it and let it grow and fester. I mean, really, it just caused her a whole bunch of stress. And I'm not judging her either. I'm just using an example of what it reminded me of, And I remind myself of this all the time. If I'm in a situation, I go, well, okay, is it really going to serve me to get upset about this? So, you know, from walking my own walk, I can say I've been there for sure. But really, from the work I do as a medium, I remind myself to live every day as my last, and yet I plan for tomorrow just like anybody else. But really, none of us knows how many days we have on the planet, and we really can make a choice to love to a greater degree, to live from a more joyous place, and to get the best out of life. Well, and that usually starts with the self and then outward. You know, it's every personality is different. If you, there's two kinds of people. Some people go inward and question about what's going on with them, and some people lash out and learn by outer. Two different ways of learning. But, you know, if you love yourself but really don't like other people, then perhaps you may be having a spiritual crisis. And that is going to interfere with getting to the place of being happier and feeling connected. So I know that, you know, we will go to a break. We'll talk more about focusing on that, and we'll just touch on that before we go to the break. You know, we need people to be unlike us in order to move, to grow, to not become stagnant. Because what if everyone in our life was exactly the same, eh? Keep the easy tribe? Well, we feel supported and loved by those that get us, that are loving us. But let's talk about that when we come back. Grab a glass of water, grab a drink. Happy 4th to those in the U.S. Hello to everyone. See you in a moment.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, so we're back. We're talking today about feeling connected, feeling happy, the importance of that, and really some of the things that can thwart us or make it difficult. Challenging world out there for many today. And you know, I want to say, life isn't really about just being comfortable, although it seems that this is what we're always being sold. This is marketing. This should be easy. This should be comfortable. No effort. But I will say life is about being joyful. And you know, you can get so comfortable that you could just sit. Just imagine being completely comfortable that at some point you're either going to get bored or uncomfortable. And those uncomfortable feelings are so valuable too. And I said I'd get back to this. So, you know, just some thoughts I'm offering on that today that, I don't know, our awareness of discomfort or maybe feeling disconnected, it helps us decide what we need to do to get more connected. It helps us figure out where we are disconnecting. Because nobody's disconnecting us. We are the ones feeling disconnected. And I think part of the human spirit, in a sense, is that we get here and we're made to roam in some way, metaphorically or actually. You know, we're not here to just be and not do anything. But we could stay in the same city, in the same home, and we could roam in other ways. Roam, when I say roam, I mean grow, evolve, expand. You know, we can roam or travel through a book into another world. We could watch something and our minds journey somewhere if we're listening to our minds. We could pick up a pen and write, or many do a computer nowadays. We could pick up an instrument and play. We could draw. I mean, you could do so many different things that allows your mind to expand. Because that's the nature, I think, of who we are, is wanting to expand, even if we don't know it. You know, I once knew a lady, she couldn't draw, but she did, you know, abstract art, and she studied art, and she was on her own soul path, so to speak. She had her own struggles, shall I say, and a little bit of a tortured soul about things that were bothering her when I knew her. But she was trying her best to get to that happy place. Do you understand what I'm saying? So she would come visit me, and we'd share a meal or a cup of tea and some cookies, or, you know, we'd have a chat. But then at some point, she started to draw, and she'd share her thoughts while she did. So it was wonderful to watch. And right before my eyes, I was watching her dig inside of herself and express herself. Now, she was used to only doing this in private, in her home. Nobody ever saw her. And so for her to sit and draw, even in this relaxed situation, what might seem relaxed, for her, that was a challenge. She was expressing her feelings on paper while talking to me. And that was a big thing for her. And, you know, over a matter of a few years, she began to draw more, what you would say, realism. But it was her version of things. It was her version of how she saw things. So she went from being a complete abstract artist to her view of the world through art. It was amazing to watch. You know, and she, because she was making a conscious effort towards listening to her soul, what I got to witness was somebody that through a creative outlet with a conscious intent was actually evolving and moving towards a happier place. Because that feeling of connection was important to her, and that wanting to be happy was important to her. So, you know, we can journey, we can take this journey, things that support us through a walk or a hike or a swim. Some people find that being out in nature is where they really listen. You know, it's really the journey of our soul that we're looking for. You know, we could sit in silence with a cup of joe or whatever we love to drink and just listen to the birds sing, listen to our soul. I love that one personally myself. Because in the stillness, we get to hear what's maybe going on, because because if you're busy, 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 you may not be aware of what's really going on. But it doesn't mean that we won't have conflict or uncomfortable moments. You know, we need these moments. She had many uncomfortable moments as she was drawing. And this was just like noticing. She didn't become the conflict of the moment. She was aware it was there. It's a big difference to be in that moment and witness it versus becoming the dramatic feelings of it. And by drawing, she was removing the drama out of it and just putting, so everybody has a different way they could do that. So, you know, back to what we're talking about, this tribal feeling, how we separate. We need people to challenge us if we want to grow and evolve. Nobody grows in a vacuum with nothing there. To be in a place where we can just enjoy being, to drink in the peaceful moment, to dance with abandon, to breathe deeply the joy of being alive. Well, there's no one here who's never triggered by something to irritate them. But there are a few who have trained their minds to be and to live from being. We don't need struggle. We don't need to be uncomfortable. But if you're there, then you can use that awareness honestly to move from that to a new place. You know, there was a time when I lived in a place of struggle, and that becomes what I call a filter. We see everything through a struggle. And I had to learn not to struggle. I didn't learn it by negating it, by pretending it wasn't there, by just saying, oh, well, that's fine. No, I had to be honest about it. I had to choose to learn another way. I chose to believe there was another way and to basically put my struggle sword down. I know I make it sound like just put it down, but there, it's a process. But as human beings, you know, never seems to be enough in some way for some, you know. But if we take care of our earthly selves and keep our souls open to a natural connection within ourselves, then we expand. So we look after our earthly selves, and then our souls have a natural opening somewhere for us. It's already there, if you will. It's just completely natural to search or desire a deeper connection to something, more than what we hear, see, feel in this earthly existence. And in this regard, each of us needs to find a path that works for each of us individually, that will help us to evolve to be our beautiful selves. You know, it's pretty simple, but perhaps finding it, well, that's another thing. You have to learn to listen or listen, which wherever you're at, I think everyone knows how to listen. It's maybe the commitment to listen. And, you know, for one person, they may need to feel connected to a group of people in a community to open up to more. And for another person, they may need a smaller group of people. It may need that a certain person, one of you, walking in the trees, climbing mountains. You know, I knew a lady who had a very hard time connecting with humans. She had such a hard time. She had dogs. And of course, I love dogs. I love animals. And she would say, oh, I'm happy. I'm happy. I don't need any human interaction. But when I would connect with her and we chatted up, something in her would shift. She would beam. She would start expressing this great thing. You're so wonderful. Thank you. And I was thinking, wow, she craves human interaction so much, but she's completely lost faith in humanity. Like, you know, my husband and I were different to her than the rest of the world. But obviously we weren't the only people that she could connect with, but she had kind of lost faith and not renewed herself. And that's what I'm talking about. We need to build a better sense of feeling connected to each other. There are so many ways to connect you to you and live a more meaningful life. And for sure, there's no chosen people. Everyone's allowed in the garden or the stadium or the party or whatever, what have you. But we need to find our place in how we belong. We need to be aware of our tribe and also be listening to what makes us uncomfortable. You know, this life is meant to be joyful. We're meant to feel that inspirational feeling in a way that's meaningful for us. So, you know, I'm thinking back. I can remember an old lady who was a friend of my mom's. She was blind. She was not born blind. I believe she went blind. She owned what was possibly one of the first successful mail order companies in Canada. Her husband had died many years before, and I think it was the first successful one. She lived alone. She was a peaceful, joyful woman. I loved being in her presence. I don't know, special. I was very, very young, and I'm one of these people that can remember back very young. I remember her bringing me a tablecloth. She came to visit my mom, and she brought me this tablecloth that she sold in her mail order. And I could color it, and then wipe it off again, and color it again. Oh, I loved it so much. And if you had something like that, then you'd remember it. It was this wonderful sort of plastic tablecloth, but it had all these things you could color. And so that there was this set up interaction between us with expressing oneself in some way. But what I really loved was the beautiful polished rocks she would give me. She'd bring me a rock. She says, "Someday you will come and visit me, and I'll show you my rocks." And I was intrigued. And of course, I would go on to be, I was one of those kids that would fill my pockets with rocks to the point that all my coats had holes in their pockets. They never looked like hers, but I loved rocks. So we went to visit her. And she would let me feel some of her rocks. And she'd say, "What do you think of this one? Do you think it's smooth enough yet?" Or something like that. And she was feeling her way through life. You know, she went through life with eyes that operated differently. She would describe things visually, but she may have been able to hold things really close to her eye and get a sense of it, but she'd ask me, "What color is this one?" And I don't know how she kept them separate. And I don't think it's just because she was blind or anything like that later, because I've known people that have been blind from birth and they still see in a different way. So she was using her seeing a different way. But she was one of the most peaceful and happy women I've ever known. And you know, I used to wonder, what was her secret? I did when I was younger. How does she stay so peaceful? How is she so happy? She lives alone, she's blind, she's lost her husband. She wasn't terribly well off or anything. She just seemed to be very, very simple kind of existence. But I'll tell you what I think one thing was. She was grateful for absolutely everything. And that she had a great faith of some kind. A feeling of being connected. And she didn't have a lot of friends. She had her time alone. And she did something that brought her peace. You know, she polished these rocks. And she absolutely loved it. She was passionate about it. And I remember asking her, "Why do you like it so much?" You know, because it was a lot of work. She'd say, "Well, this one took a month." And I think, wow, every day. So I realize now that what she was describing to me is that her rock polishing was like a meditation for her and a feeling of being connected to her. And she felt connected to the earth in some way. So I just think that's beautiful, that she was able to use something. I mean, we can really use what it is that we want to go forth. She didn't lose faith in humanity anyway for what happened to her. She had an open heart. You know, she touched my soul forever. So I'm just going to ponder on about that. You know, when we think about our self-images, because this lady obviously had to reinvent herself when her husband passed away, she was blind. You know, who are you? For me, it's been an ever-unfolding answer. You know, who I am today is not who I was 40 years ago or 30 or 20 or even a year ago. But we so easily cling to a self-image that our conscious minds want to just get comfortable. There's something in the human nature about, okay, I'm like this now. And it's even a rite of passage, you know, when you think about teenagers struggling so hard to be original and unique. And in that, they want to wear the same clothing or brands. That's it right there, right? We want to be ourselves, to belong. We live in challenging times, and how do we really feel like we belong when there's so much out there reminding us of people or actions that we don't want to belong to? You know, it's true, there's a lot of ugly parts of humanity, and if you're stuck on part of that, you know, maybe part of that is a calling for you to do something about it. You know, a lot of people have done great things because their souls spoke to them about it and they moved forward on something. And I really believe that some of us can choose to be warriors for a better world in different ways. You know, we have a calling to do something special. So we come back, we talk about and reflect on some ways to entertain more on that. Thank you so much for being with me, and I look forward to coming back in just a couple of minutes.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the practical, intuitive, mind, body, spirit for the real world with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative. And that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back for the last segment, talking about this full world out here. And I was just thinking, I met a lady in my travels. She worked with dying children for a long time, and she really felt passionate about helping the parents and helping the kids. And she did it, but at some point she just couldn't do it anymore, but she still cared so much about it. And she moved into a job that's very important work. She helps people who now do this kind of work that she did. and she still cared about it, but it was easier for her to help people with these skills. So she's still doing something that maybe many of us couldn't do, doing a great job of it, and it was important to her. So I was just thinking, if she told me about how it became uncomfortable or discomfort, she loved it so much, but she needed to move on a little bit. You know, sometimes our discomfort is trying to guide us somewhere, and not listening is what creates the real suffering. I mean, how much do you listen to yourself? How much do you criticize yourself or others? It's not helpful, is it? You know, why do we criticize ourselves? You know, and if you're one of those people that does do that, you know, why do you do that? Is that a way that you think you keep yourself in line? Or do you feel the rest of the world is a problem? Because I just want to say those two things are the same issue. If we criticize ourselves or if we're busy criticizing others. And that right there can be the reason we're not happy. You know, it's an amazing, wondrous, and beautiful world out there too. You know, I grew up extremely empathic and sensitive to everything, so I get it. I felt everything. My mother would be shocked at the things that would pop out of my mouth, like, how do you know that? You know, I turned to my father at 2 and said, I'm with you, Daddy. You're not alone. I don't actually remember this, but he told me the story and recounted that I knew everything that was going on with him. And he's wondering, how did I know? But he said, I was like so strong and resilient about it. You know, I just felt so much. If you're an empath who struggles with this, I'm speaking to you. If you're wanting to be more happy, I'm speaking to you. If you're irritated by life, I'm speaking to you. If you just want to be happier, I'm speaking to you. Just want to feel more connected, I'm speaking to you. You know, when I had my dark night of the soul, as I call it, I made a decision. I can either focus on what's awful and let it destroy my soul, or I can focus on being the best I can be and live and make a difference in my own happiness, hoping that there would be a ripple effect out into the world. Because I know with absolute certainty that we're all connected. And sometimes that just simply begins with stop picking on yourself. You know, yes, hear the thoughts, be aware of them, and then direct them into the garbage and replace them with I love myself, I forgive myself, that's a habit, I don't need it. It's just amazing how many of us could use more love out here. How critical we are of ourselves and others. It's huge. You know, I made a friend years ago who said, well, nobody really wanted to talk to him. You know, he just felt really, real sweetheart, but he just kind of felt like nobody would find him interesting. And he just decided to start thinking he was interesting, that he was okay the way he was. He really just started thinking, maybe I'm okay this way. I'm not outgoing. It's okay. I don't have to be the life of the party. It's okay. He just started accepting that the way he was. And guess what? He made new friends, new program, and he started to feel a sense of connection. He just really got out of his own way. You know, if you're still hating someone that you once loved, then you're the one suffering. If you really loved that person, why wouldn't you just want them to be happy? You know, love does not judge. Love does not measure, but human minds do. If you're still upset, are you blaming yourself for being vulnerable? Because that's a gift if you have vulnerability. And if you have it, then hold it and nurture it and protect it. I'm not saying let people do anything wrong to you. I'm saying nurture that vulnerability. There is a strength in that. You know, and remember, being here takes bravery when you really think about it. You know, we come here, we're set up with challenges, and we must then step into our lives and go forth. And some of us do that pretty good. Some of us struggle. Sometimes things may be good, but sometimes all of a sudden we find we need to possibly redesign, redirect, or simply even renew our path because now it's missing something. And if it's missing something, then, you know, that's that. Sometimes it's unspoken, but it's that need to feel more connected, but we don't have words for it. You know, there's people who love their job, love what they did, but feel like, I need something more. And that is a really big thing right there, if you feel like you need something more. That's that part of you that's trying to find that sense of connection, saying, I need to reach out. And that's where our sense of ourselves, are we limiting ourselves in how we perceive our personality and who we are? Because it's just human nature to say, I do this, I don't do that, I like this, I don't like that. And then the mind grabs onto, oh, that's me. And then maybe we change and evolve, and then the mind says, oh, that's me. But really, we could do that 10 times. That would just be an expression of you that would not be you. Who you are is ever evolving. There's levels or dimensions of yourself that you may not be aware of. And that is what could be calling to you. And that kind of brings up for me the thought that, you know, we need to find meaning where it is applicable for us. And I know I've always found meaning wherever I am. And I think that's like what I call another key in the lock of mining for our own gold. You know, I've approached everything that's happened to me in my life as a challenge, a test. It doesn't really mean I believe I'm being tested, though. It's a way of training the mind to focus and say, okay, what's this about now? Let's keep the doors open on this. You know, let's look at this and not limit what I can see. You know, if you speak to people who've gone through massively hard times and are happy, you will find they've mined for their own gold. Sometimes the darkest of times is where we find our greatest strength. And that, you know, sometimes that can be what people call they've done maybe shadow work. The ways that we judge others, the way that we point the finger at others, that is probably something like, well, let's just see. I really like being honest. I believe in being honest. That's important to me. So when I was growing up, you know, if somebody wasn't honest, it really bothered me. That's a part of myself. Like, I can't allow myself to be dishonest. That's really, there's a box there. Well, I can still choose to be an honest person and to be ethical. But the judgment about saying I need to be that way, that's the part that then all of a sudden separates me. Everybody has their own lessons, their own reasons for everything that they do. And that's a whole other radio show or conversation. But, you know, I confess, I have to say that we just had Canada Day on July 1st. Today is July 4th. Two developed countries having a celebration of coming together and uniting in their own way, another way of connection. And you know, I have heard the differences of these two countries when it really comes to Canada or US, it has nothing to do with whether you can be happy. Now try being born where it's not easy to just go buy some food, earn some money, get to a doctor if you need it, receive schooling, well, then those earthly challenges are more stressful and harder work. And yet, Mother Teresa said she never found the happiest people in the richest of places, but rather the poorest. Kind of makes you think, eh? Also, they've done studies about people's earnings, and every tax bracket, they wanted to earn another 15 to 25%. So although the earthly life is easier, is not the core reason for happiness in general. of course, having our basic needs met is really important to move forward with our souls. And that's what I'm talking about. What do you need to be happy? You need to feel connected and loved and able to be you. Okay, of course, if you want to be more happy, I want to say lean into the hardened, judgmental thoughts that creates a separation between you and your fellow human being, and listen to those. Don't become those. Don't react, but listen. You know, judgment is good for deciding whether to cross the street when there's a bunch of cars, but judging yourself constantly or judging others constantly, it's going to keep you unhappy and stressed out. So, you know, if you're doing that, judge, you know, I say love, but maybe you need to say, why is it so important? What is that going on? Mind that. Find out, how's this holding on to this going to make my life better? Because maybe that's a part of you saying, I need to make a difference in this. I don't want to see people going hungry, so we create a food project for people. These are how change happens. You know, be you, because nobody else can. So, no one can be you. I think taking stock of yourself regularly is beautiful as long as it's not a judgmental, harsh way. You know, be aware of yourself and your thoughts. It's a wonderful way to grow. If you have some baggage you need to let go of, because that might be it. It's a dance. The dance is to be yourself fully and let others be themselves. You don't need anyone's permission to be different. Be you, the beautiful you that you came to be. Walk in love and kindness. And I say, as long as you're not causing pain and suffering, then sail on. Don't take it so seriously. And if you're having a bad day and you're not happy, well, be honest, but remember to look at the beauty of life too. Don't take it so seriously. If you're an intense personality like me, then you need to have an outlet to direct that. For me, I'm very passionate about what I do, but I have to have a personal outlet to stay balanced. I play music, I love to sing, I garden, and I could say I'm still as intense energetically, but it's more joyful, it's directed, it's not heavy. And you know, I can't say enough about being grateful. Find meaning where it's applicable and then challenge yourself. Can't say enough about that. Challenge yourself. Most of all, get out of your own way. Stop criticizing yourself and don't let fear dominate you, because you are love. And when we're in fear, we're in a sense of separation. And maybe try jotting down, just play, what if, what would life be with if I wasn't afraid of this or if I wasn't afraid of that? I'm going to leave you with a song that inspired this radio show. It's called Standing in the Sunlight. Thank you so much for joining me. Remember, things will never make you happy. Enjoy your playground and love yourself.
I choose the open road, trusting what I cannot see. Destination. Just know I'm standing in the sweet sunlight. Doesn't matter what the weather's like. Golden rays are now crystallized in my heart, liquefied.
Watch.
watching it unfold. Visualizing doesn't need detail. Future's now taking hold. Crystallize.